my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
With wrestling superstars, it's like having a real match right in your own home. Yes, there's Jimmy Superfly Snuka. The Iron Sheik. Hulk Hogan. And Big John Studd. And now you can fly them and flip them in the swing them wrestling ring. Wrestling superstars and new wrestling ring, each sold separately from LJN.
Hey everyone, Merry Christmas. It is Christmas week. This is episode 266 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger. We are going to be wrestling with the 80s today. My guest co-host is Brian Juvers from, well, we kind of crossed paths here in Southern Illinois, but he is now in sunny Florida, although I don't know that it's necessarily sunny on the day that we're recording this. Brian, is that right?
Yeah, it was supposed to get 24 hours of rain. It started at 9 last night. We're actually getting a small break right now, but it was thunder and lightning pretty good last night.
Oh, wow.
But it's still 76 degrees. You can't really argue with that.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. Brian, I chose for this month's installment of Wrestling with the 80s because we're going to talk about LJN action figures, because as a kid for me, that was one of the most popular toys that I had. And since it is the week of Christmas, a lot of Christmas memories revolving around those LJNs for me. So just to kind of get a frame of reference, though, with all the guest co-hosts, I always kind of dig into their wrestling past, if you will. So, Brian, when did you start watching wrestling and kind of who had your attention at that age?
You know, I've never was much of a cartoon guy. I'd wake up Saturday mornings, and I remember watching the Smurfs and the little underwater one, whatever they were. I think Snorks or
the Snorks. Or yep.
Yeah, I watched those two, and that was really the extent of my cartoon watching. But it was actually a Sunday morning, and my parents get ready for church or whatnot. But I had flipped through, and I remember the first match that I really paid attention to was the Macho Man hitting Tito Santana with a roll of coins.
Okay.
And I thought this guy was just pure evil, but for some reason I was drawn to him. So from there on, I became a Macho Man fan, and I just started watching wrestling every Sunday morning. That was it. And then I got to the point where I found prime time on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it doesn't mean I'm a villain, but I always gravitated towards the villains.
That makes sense. I mean, especially Macho Man. He was one of those guys that even though we were supposed to boo him and hate him, he had that factor about him that just, you know, you love to hate him, I guess, or, you know, some fans did at least.
It was pure charisma. I mean, you're just drawn to him regardless if you're rooting for him or against him. He demanded the camera. So I think that was my thing with him, especially at that young age. I think I was probably 9 or 10, so.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I find really cool about, following you on social media is you kind of break up this, you break up the political back and forth and the people that are posting and arguing and whatever with funny wrestling posts. And some of them are like original pictures that you've made and created on your own with some of your LJNs, which is also why I wanted to talk to you about these, because, you know, I think that was such a big part of growing up, especially for someone who is so into wrestling. I did the whole Smurf thing, and I did the wrestling, and I did Star Wars figures. But beyond that, I didn't really collect you know, I wasn't a G.I. Joe fan, and I wasn't, you know, Voltron or Transformers. I had a few, but, I, you know, Star Wars, wrestling, and Smurfs were my three go-to toys of the 80s, I would say. So for you, what was it, what kind of toys were you collecting and playing with at that age?
I think I started with the Star Wars toys around the Ewok era, because I did get the Ewok Village, and then I started getting some of the guys, but I don't think I really ever, I got into them. I like collecting them, but as far as playing with them, I don't remember really getting them out that often. But the wrestlers and He-Man, I was really into He-Man. I did play with He-Man a lot. I do remember getting those guys out. And I've started kind of looking them over again. They're kind of expensive right now with the comeback on its way.
Yeah.
But I have kind of thought about collecting them again. I have started collecting the LJN guys again, and man, they're getting pricey again. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the nostalgia of them or just because they're such a good figure. I mean, it's a really quality figure.
Yeah. So when I was, like I said, you know, I started watching wrestling in late 82, early 83. So I was, you know, fourth, fifth grade, almost 10 years old. And this was before the LJNs were introduced. This was before any wrestling figures were out there. So I did take my Star Wars figures and I made them my WWF or NWA superstars. So, for example, Chewbacca was my Andre the Giant. I always remember him being Andre the Giant for me. So I remember it very specifically to this day, and this is now almost 35 years later. I was sitting in the band room in sixth grade, and a friend of mine, he's still a friend today, he's a was an indie wrestler at one point in the St. Louis area too, John Daugherty. I remember him telling me, they're going to have WWF action figures. And I'm like, there's no, you know, obviously it's 1985, there's no internet, there's no, I'm like, how do you know this? There's no way, I don't believe you, whatever, whatever, whatever. Well then, like, I don't know, weeks later, WWF Magazine comes out and there's an ad for these figures. I don't know how he knew. I don't know how he was privy to it, but he knew. And I remember that summer being in Florida and we walked into a store called Pick and Save. And sure enough, there's a display of LJNs and I was in heaven. And my brother and I each got to pick one. I picked Hulk Hogan. My brother picked Superfly Jimmy Snuka, and then from there we were off to the races. It was like every couple weeks if we were at the store, I had my allowance or whatever, I got a new figure. So do you remember kind of your LJN? Who was it? Was your first in your collection, and then how did you kind of go from there?
Yeah, I totally remember my first one. I got the Ring, Junkyard Dog, Roddy Piper, and Hulk Hogan all at once. I got them, I think it was my 10th birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good one, but Piper really took some beatings having Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog because they had to team up and
Beat
on Roddy a lot. So
I can remember, getting Rowdy that, I believe it was that Christmas, I got him, and I can remember we had a dog. She was a puppy at the time, and she got a hold of his kilt and chewed the hell out of the kilt. And my mom attempted to save it with some hand stitching, but it was never the same after that. But it was like after that, it was Christmases or whatever, and they would always, it seemed like they were always releasing a handful of new ones. And so you were never, I think that was the fun part of it. And even now as an adult, as I'm looking at the ones I don't have from my childhood, and kind of that chase when you were a kid, it was so exciting of seeing these figures or waking up Christmas morning and there were, you know, a handful of new LJNs under the Christmas tree. So
Big Mac's at my house. I'll bring my guys. You have yours. I've got Junkyard Dog.
It's World Wrestling Federation Superstars.
I've got Brutus Beefcake. Here's George the Animal Steel. I've got Great Hammer Valentine. Ricky the Dragon Steel. Yeah.
They're so real.
And Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Can you tell the difference? Yeah. Wrestling Superstars, they're for real. Each sold separately from LJN. Yeah.
How did you set up your ring and choreograph your matches and whatnot?
It's funny you ask, because the ring itself, I think I had it for maybe 3 days, and one of my cousins stepped in the middle of it and cracked it.
I think that happened to everyone. I did the same thing to mine. I did the same thing to mine. Just cracked it right down the middle.
Right down the middle. Well, it would be my, what would it be? It was a relative, my uncle's father on through marriage. So uh-huh. My cousin's grandpa, he measured all of our rings, or one ring, I guess, and he made us out of wood. His name was Gordon. He was quite the woodsmith. And he made us all these nice, sturdy rings, put the buckles in. He used these nylon ropes. I mean, they were way better than the actual ring.
That's awesome.
And from there on, we all had these nice wooden rings. They're kind of hard to travel to each other's house, but we would take them, just our guys, because everybody pretty much had a ring.
Yeah.
But my favorite to do was, I wouldn't say it was caught around when the Royal Rumble came out, because I would put all my guys into a bag.
Yeah.
And I'd keep them behind me, and I would just grab them out at random orders.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same guys won every time, regardless of what entry they came in, but the Macho Man always seemed to get the W for some reason.
That was always... I would do some, you know, I would have like mixed tag tournaments or whatever, and I would just throw them all behind me and then grab two of them at random, and they would be partners. And I can remember having my little boombox there, and I had the cassette, or I had the actual wrestling album. A pile driver and the first wrestling album. And then you would take, you know, back then the turntable had the cassette deck in it, so you could record the vinyl. So I would record the vinyl and then put that in my boombox, and I would play different, you know, they had a handful of different guys that had the theme music on there. So you'd have music and you know, I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I was probably past the point of where I should be getting so excited and playing with toys, because like I said, I was 12 when I got that first set of LJNs, and I collected all through high school. And I can remember it got to the point where you couldn't find them in stores anymore. So then in the back of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they had an ad for them, and I ordered Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Honky Tonk Man, and they were pretty pricey. I mean, in the store, you could go and pick them up, and I think you paid about $8 or $9 for the LJNs, and then by that point, when you're ordering them out of the magazine, it was over, I think it was, with shipping and everything, it was over $20 per figure, so I was working at the time, so I did have that kind of money to do that, but then we took a trip to Canada, my summer before my junior year in high school. I was, I had just turned 16. It was 1989. It was the summer of 89. And we stopped at a store in Canada, and they had Ted DiBiase and Slick. And those were the last two Menton card figures that I bought from the LJN line. And sure, I'm like, I'm not going to open these. I'm going to save them. And we were about on the road for probably an hour or two, and I ripped into them and took them out, and of course started having matches with them as well once we got back home. But as an adult, and talk to me on this, I guess let's start off, how many of the originals, and I maybe not a number, but did you have all of them? Did you have a lot of them? Like, which ones kind of eluded your collection as a kid?
Oh, I can remember a few that I really wanted that I didn't get, but let's trail back. You got me stuck on the Honky Tonk Man. When you remember? I don't remember. When did you move to Southern Illinois? I guess you weren't.
2004.
School already.
2004.
Okay, yeah, that's when the West Frankfort Mall first opened.
Uh huh.
There was a toy store in there, and my mom had drugged me over there for something. I didn't want to go, but I didn't realize the toy store was in there, and they had the Honky Tonk Man and Kamala.
Oh, wow.
And I think they were like $4.99.
Wow.
The place was going out of business. And I said the same thing you did. I'm not going to open these. I'm going to keep them forever. I know one day these are going to have some type of value. And I don't even, I'd make it from from West Frankfort to Hearst before they were ripped open.
Yeah.
And I was kind of at the age, like you said, I was at the point then where I was going to get made fun of for even watching wrestling, more or less playing with the figures.
Right, right.
But you're safe with mom, so I went ahead and got both of those. She helped me pick up both of them since they were so cheap. So.
Yeah, I never...
I think that's the last one I ever got on card as a child. I mean, I bought a couple now as an adult that obviously won't get open unless my 5-year-old finds my toy stash.
So now, as you're buying them as an adult, are you the ones that you're buying on card, you're keeping them on card?
Yeah, the ones that I do get on card, I have. There was one that was, the bubble was torn up. I got a brand new Beefcake, but the bubble was so torn up, I went ahead and let them breathe.
So are you finding them out in the wild, or are you going online and buying them online?
I've done a couple online, but there's just something about finding them at toy shows and whatnot. Living in Orlando, Tampa area, I live right directly in between the two.
Uh-huh.
So I'm privileged enough to be able to go to all these toy shows, because there's a lot down here.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because
between Tampa, Orlando, and Lakeland, it seems like every weekend there's a toy show if you can make it. But
yeah, there was probably, I don't know the number of the ones I have, but like I said, Slick and Ted DiBiase were the last two, and then I remember very specifically wanting to find the Ultimate Warrior and the Ravishing Rick Rude and Kamala, and could never find them, and I've seen them online, and they are, I can't believe, like you said, I can't, even the loose ones, I can't believe Warriors are going for hundreds of dollars these days. My friend.
I was just looking at a Warrior this morning, but before we talked, I looked on eBay, and there's one going for $280.
Wow.
And it's roughed up.
Yeah. It's just so amazing.
I'm not artistic enough to repaint these guys myself. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and that, I think that's part of the shot up in pricing too, is there's a lot of guys now that take them and chop them into pieces and customize them. I follow a couple of groups on Facebook, and some of the work they do is amazing too. My friend Axe Allwort from Stride Pro Wrestling has the Ultimate Warrior figure, and I remember I borrowed it for a video I did a few years ago. But just that's as close as I've ever been to the Warrior figure. I did buy Adorable Adrian Adonis from someone out of that Facebook group I talked about, and then Outback Jack, for whatever reason, was one of those guys that I always was fascinated by. I wouldn't say I was necessarily a fan, but the fact that he had a figure, and I was like, I want to know more about this, so I ended up buying, he's known as the LJN Whisperer, Zorro Mendez, on Instagram, and I bought Outback Jack from him probably about, I don't know, 2 months ago, and that was my last purchase. But like you said, there's something about that thrill of finding them and holding them out in the wild and adding to your collection that way. So if you had to say, you know, who is on your kind of most wanted list right now, if you were out looking and came across?
I've always wanted the Rick Rude figure. I check it online all the time. It's just so pricey. I would not be able to explain to the wife why I just spent $400 on a toy. But
yeah,
but I want that Rick Rude one. I still want it bad. I wanted it then, and I still want it, because Rude was another one of those guys that, you know, is a bad guy, but so entertaining. Yeah. I always loved him as a kid. So,
well,
I mean, that's an easy one for me. It's definitely the Rick Rude figure.
Yeah. So I would put him in my top three. You know, for me, it's Ultimate Warrior, Rick Rude, and Kamala, for sure. And the other funny thing about the LJN collection was it kind of spurred some other items or other collectibles, if you will. There were the Thumb Wrestlers. Did you have any of the Thumb Wrestlers?
Yeah, I actually have one that's coveted. I have the King Kong Bundy Thumb Wrestler.
Wow.
And I don't really know where I got it. It's just in my toy collection. When my grandparents recently got put into nursing homes,
uh-huh,
and when we went through all their old toy cabinets, I started finding some wrestlers. I don't know if they're mine or my cousin's, but I claimed them, and and I found almost a brand new Hillbilly Jim and that King Kong Bundy, and it's in really good shape, and I know it's highly coveted. I look at it on eBay every once in a while, and if I find the right guy, I think I would trade it for a Rick Rude.
Yeah. Well, even that King Kong Bundy, you know, the LJN, was such a bulky, I mean, you could do some damage to somebody hitting them with that thing, because they were, you know, those hard, you know, and I know everybody that's listening to this knows what LJNs are and kind of the story behind them, but as they called it in the Toys That Made Us store, documentary on Netflix, that, you know, almost like a dog toy. They were that big rubber, hard plastic stuff. So I could imagine that Bundy thumb wrestler. I never had any of the thumb wrestlers. I did have a couple of the Bendoms, and I remember for some reason I was in a mood and I had the Paul Orndorff one. And I think this might have been right after he turned on Hulk Hogan. So maybe I was taking out my aggression on him. But I had a pocket knife, not a recommended thing to do, kids. I had my pocket knife, and I had it in his back, and I had it right down in, you know, in his spine. And I took the figure, and I rammed it, for whatever reason, into the wall. And by doing that, it forced the blade to shut, and my finger was over where the blade would close, and so it sliced my finger open. And I, to this day, I'm looking at it right now, I still have a scar on my right index finger from that figure.
From Mr. Wonderful.
From Mr. Wonderful, yeah. And try explaining that to your parents at 10:30 at night of why you're bleeding and why you had the pocket knife out and playing with a wrestling figure with it. But I didn't have many.
Was it a Saturday Night Live?
No, you know what?
It
was a Saturday night. It was late, but we were watching that. I grew up in St. Louis, and the Three Stooges were on. I still remember the Three Stooges being on, you know, in syndication. And so that's what I was watching. And I, again, stupid things that kids do, I guess. But did you collect the Bendoms?
Only getting to stay up for those Saturday night's main events. That was the only time I got to stay up till midnight. So
yeah, those were some great. And you could always count on being entertained with, because the matches were so much bigger than what you were getting in the syndicated programming with the Sunday morning shows that we would watch for sure. Did you collect the Bendoms at all?
I had just a couple. I actually had the Orndorff one, and I had the Bundy one in that. And that may have been the only two I got. I think I got them maybe in a Christmas stocking almost a few years after I was kind of done with them.
Yeah.
They're really in good shape still. I still have them to this day. But
oh, wow. I would say probably the last of the LJN collection that I can remember collecting were the Stretch Wrestlers. Did you collect any of those?
No, I remember them, but I never got one. Nobody ever gifted me one, and I don't remember the price on them, but I remember never wanting to buy one of my own.
Yeah, and I remember it was, it would have been my freshman year in high school. It was that fall when Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan formed the Mega Powers, and they did the handshake in the ring on Saturday night's main event. And this was about the same time that the Stretchums were being advertised, and I remember asking for Christmas for the Macho Man Stretchum, because I all of a sudden became a huge or even bigger Macho Man fan. And you know, that side of the family, my uncle was the one that was, you know, buying the gifts, or he was the one that I had asked for that for. He could not find the Macho Man. I guess because of the face turn, everybody wanted the Macho Man figure, so he was sold out. So I ended up with a Rowdy Roddy Piper, who had just retired, but, you know, obviously production was kind of behind on those things, and a George the Animal Steel. And I liked them. They were a nice addition, but once you start stretching on them and pulling on them for too long, you know, eventually they bust open and they've got that white powder. I remember with Stretch Armstrong, it was more of a syrupy kind of thing inside of it. But with these figures, it was like a powdery, dusty kind of stuff. And I remember years later, I tried to buy one on eBay, a Junkyard Dog on eBay, a Stretchum, and the sale didn't go through for whatever reason, and I didn't end up getting it. But I just remember that being a very small part of the collection. But yeah, it was pretty cool. They were again a different part of it. Who would you say of your collection of your LJNs that you know got as a kid? Which one of those figures? Because you sent me a picture this morning of Ted Arcidi and Brutus Beefcake. Were there any ones that kind of when you got them, you were like, it became your favorite, or was it always the Macho Man one?
I got Harley Race.
Oh wow.
Having the crown,
yeah.
I think that, and it was during the Harley Race on Saturday night's main event with him and Hogan. I think the pile drive through a table. or was it outside on the concrete?
I know Harley Race tried to do something on the table. I don't think it was a pile driver, but yeah, I remember him getting hurt with the with a table spot.
Yeah, I remember vaguely, obviously, but I just it was right around the same time that I got that figure, so it instantly became a favorite of mine. I still have it. I can't find the crown. I lost it somewhere along the way, and it's not in the best shape. I must have really played with it. It's kind of a favorite of mine, and it's one of those that's kind of hard to find now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that was the other thing, too. You know, some of these guys came with the accessories, you know, and if you weren't very meticulous with them, like you said, your Harley Race crown, I know my Junkyard Dog chain is gone. Terry yep. Funk's branding iron has gone away. I did, man, and even I don't even think I have Hacksaw's 2x4 anymore, but, you know, I have Damien from Jake the Snake, and Honky Tonk Man still has his guitar, and some of the guys still have their hats, but I think I lost probably Hillbilly Jim's hat, but I think I still have Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob Orton. But it was funny that some of them would come with the accessories and some of them didn't. Hulk Hogan, of course, came with the championship belt, but yeah, those accessories were kind of hard to keep track of.
Yeah, I have the titles. I actually lost the Dynamite Kid, but I still have both titles from the British Bulldogs. I have Davey Boy, but the poor Dynamite Kid's off in the ether somewhere. We don't know where he is.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I'm glad you brought up, too, because they at one point, LJ started creating a tag team line where it was two, and it was a big box, you know, the original single figures came on a card with the bubble, but the tag teams, and I remember the British Bulldogs, they did Sheik and Volkoff, Hulk Hogan and Hillbilly Jim were packaged as a team, and I believe maybe the Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees. I think they did the Dream Team too. The Hammer and Beak. Well, they just put the two guys. I think they changed the figures at all.
Yeah, and I remember getting the Bulldogs were the only ones I got that were packaged that way. When I finally found the Killer Bees, they were in the individual package. And that the Killer Bees, that was another trip that we were in Florida, and I had stumbled upon the Killer Bees with. So, did you? Gosh, I was going to ask you something else about the. When it comes to, because I noticed through the years too, like even the early years with Andre the Giant, you know, the original Andre that I have, he's got the big, bushy, puffy looking hair. And then I know they did a variant where he's got very short hair. And then, of course, they came out later after he turned bad and they put him in the black single strap.
One strap.
Yeah. And then, you know, they did a new Hulk Hogan, but then a new Strike Force, Tito Santana, for example. Did you collect any of the variants, or do you have any of the variants now that you're older?
I have two different SD Jones. I have the yellow shirt and the red shirt. I think that's the only variant that I actually own.
Yeah.
And I've picked the yellow shirt up at a toy show since then, but I had the red shirt one as a kid, and I still own him, but I picked the yellow shirt up as a variant since I've been an adult.
Yeah, I've got the SD that I have is the red shirt one, too. Did you have the referee?
No, I never did pick up a referee, and that's something I still look at today, the white shirt or the blue shirt. I can't remember which one owns the value mark. Is it the white shirt?
They say it's the white shirt. I actually have the white shirt. I still don't, for whatever reason, I don't understand why. I guess because it was a more of a limited edition, because back then the WWF referees did wear the blue shirt, so maybe the white shirt one was a mistake. But I just probably in the last 6 months, you know, listening to Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins' podcast, discovered the fact that there is some sort of value associated with this, with the referee figure, which to me, it's still kind of funny, but, you know, I guess it is what it is. So, Brian, you know, any other fun or cool stories from your childhood or even now as an adult that you want to share as we...
I kind of got a question for the host. I know I have an answer for this question myself, and I'll share it after I ask you.
Sure.
Was there ever a figure that you were disappointed to get?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say no, just because there was always that pop, if you will, that inner pop of finding them. Because I can remember buying, you know, SD Jones was you know, enhancement talent, you know, but he kind of was probably the most, if he wasn't the most famous, he was definitely one of the top five enhancement guys in that era, you know, famously losing to King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania in such quick fashion. I would probably say Ted Arcidi and Corporal Kirshner, I would probably put in my why these guys. And as I'm talking this out, I've thought of another question for you that I'll ask after you talk about yours. But, you know, just having the figures I always thought was cool, even if they were guys that I didn't necessarily, you know, because Ted Arcidi really did not have a huge WWF run. He didn't really have a huge run in wrestling in general. So he was
He's actually mine as well. I had asked, my grandmother specifically asked me which ones I wanted. So I thought she's going to remember, but there were several of us cousins collecting them, so I don't guess you remember who wanted which one. And it was a Christmas morning, and I opened them up, and I got Ted Arcidi and Hercules. And my cousin opened up Kamala and Adrian Adonis. Oh, man, these are two that I wanted, and I watched him open them up. And at the time, I wasn't real happy with Hercules, but now that I go back, that figure is so distinguished. It's a really good figure with the Coliseum costume they have on him and everything. But the Ted Arcidi, I didn't even know who he was at the time. I missed any episodes because he was such a short run.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I guess he had taken over for Ken Patera when he went to jail, right? Is that the story?
I believe that was kind of the story behind it. And I remember him doing a WrestleMania 2. He was in that football player battle royal.
That's the only remembrance I had of him of anything. I thought this is just kind of a...
Yeah, and then I know he went to World Class very briefly, but he was a cup of coffee in terms of all that. But what wrestlers would you, if you want to give me one, two, a handful of them, when you were watching wrestling as a kid, who did you wish they would have made into an LJN figure that would have been relevant at that time?
Butch Reed was my most want. From the tournament in WrestleMania 4,
uh-huh.
I was kind of rooting for Butch Reed, even though he fought the Macho Man. But I just thought Butch Reed was so cool with the blonde hair and his attitude and everything.
Yeah.
I would definitely say Butch Reed was the one that I wanted most. I was a big Demolition fan too, and I know there's an Axe figure which I've never collected yet, but I wanted both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a great one. I know that was in their plans to eventually release Smash too, but yeah, those were two at the time that I really wanted. But Butch Reed by far. Bad News Brown too, which I know they were going to make, was another one. That,
oh yeah.
Kind of like I told you earlier, I gravitated towards the bad guys. Yeah. And those were two. You don't get much better than Bad News Brown.
No. I would.
That arc still remembrance.
Oh yeah. I would say for me it would be because I still can't wrap my brain around why it didn't happen, because Wendy Richter and Fabulous Moolah were kind of two of those characters that were a big part of the first WrestleMania and even the build-up to it, and the figures came out right after that. So I always wondered why there weren't a Wendy Richter and a Fabulous Moolah, because you obviously couldn't make one and not, you know, have a female opponent for her. And maybe that's why they didn't make it. Maybe they didn't think there would be enough. I know they did a line from the cartoon, the Rock and Wrestling cartoon. They did some erasers, and I know there was a Wendy Richter eraser, but I always wanted that. You know, Miss Elizabeth was the first and only LJN female figure that they made. I'm assuming she was part of your collection with the Macho Man as well.
Yeah, I had the gold skirt Elizabeth, not the purple skirt.
Yeah. And that's another one of those, and now as I say this out loud, it makes me sound like a pervert, but yeah, the skirt is one of those accessories that kind of got lost in the abyss as well, so.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever had it on her anyway, but she couldn't really wrestle with it, and she had to come in anyway.
Yeah.
That was basically my only Barbie experience.
Did you have the steel cage?
No, well, I made one out of milk crate. My dad
had
farms growing up, so milk crates were around. I know he would never take one, but
yeah,
they were around. We'll just say that. And I used I used a saw. I did it all myself.
Oh, wow.
They weren't too happy with me using the saw when they figured out what I did, but they were... Yeah, duct tape, saw, and everything. It actually worked, though. They could climb it. They could jump out the top.
That's pretty inventive.
Across my woods.
That's awesome. That's very inventive. I can remember putting... I don't remember if I put the ring inside a milk crate. I don't remember if the milk crates were that big, but I remember using a milk crate as well, and then I eventually... I believe it was for my birthday one year, got the actual cage, which it was harder to play with because you got to, you know, you're reaching over and you know, they weren't the most, because nowadays you have the Mattel line, which are amazingly detailed and the articulation and, you know, the way that you can move them and pose them and whatnot. So do you collect anything beyond the LJNs, or did you stop with the LJNs? Did you go into Hasbro and then into Jax and Mattel?
I actually got some Remcos before I ever got the LJN. I got the...
Okay.
The Freebirds, Baron Von Raschke. I had a Flair, and there was another guy I had. I can't remember his name, but I always wanted the Arn Anderson, never got him, but I had those, and they were basically He-Man, so you could mix in your He-Man to have matches.
Yeah, yeah. We had the Remco ones, too, yeah.
Younger than me, so he started getting the Mattel.
Okay. Yeah, we had the Remcos, and I'm a pack rat, and I honestly don't know what happened to my Remco collection. I have no idea what happened with them. Maybe I'll find them rooting through my parents' attic at some point, but I remember having the ring for it, and it was a cloth canvas, and we used to take, because Abdullah the Butcher was one of them that we had, and we would take the fake blood, and we'd put it all over Abdullah the Butcher, and then that ring actually ended up getting stained with the fake blood too. So
perfect.
Yeah, a lot of great memories there. Brian, any other thoughts as we kind of start to wrap things up? Any figures, you know, you mentioned Ravishing Rick Rude. Do you dip into any of the other lines now that you're an adult that you collect, or are you just kind of looking at LJNs?
Well, I have a 5-year-old, so we get a lot of wrestling figures still. He's into them. He kind of reminds me of myself when I was younger. He won't really watch wrestling unless he's got all his wrestlers out. So he'll get all his wrestlers out, and he likes the Royal Rumble as well. So he'll tell me to put on. He'll watch any of them, though. He'll watch the older Royal Rumbles. He'll watch the newer ones. And then, of course, we watch it every year. That's the one time he gets to stay up late, is we stay up and watch the Royal Rumble.
That's awesome.
So we still actively collect. I don't overspend on them, though, because I'll just wait until they come down. Like, I know when Rousey first came out,
yeah,
they wanted, like, $40 for it. Like, I'm not paying that. And now I saw her at Five and Below. I think I saw her for $5. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that.
Yeah, you just kind of keep an eye out for them. And I don't – I did pay $22 for Viscera, so.
Okay.
Because he wanted that one really bad from something. And I don't know. Obviously, he didn't get the opportunity to see Viscera live. But
yeah.
And with WrestleMania being here this year, I'm seeing a lot of guys pop up. The figures are really getting replenished hard. So
oh, yeah.
I imagine we'll do some heavy collecting, but he opens them, and that's fine with me. I'm not making them keep any in the package.
Enjoy them and play with them, absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you so much for spending some time with me on this Sunday morning before Christmas as we get ready to drop this on the 23rd and wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Thank you again for being a part of the show.
Oh, man, I've enjoyed it. I'll talk LJNs all day if I can get somebody to listen.
Well, we'll do this again and have you on, and we'll talk more wrestling memories down the road. Friends, I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great Merry Christmas, and stay tuned next week as we present the Cinti Awards. We'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.